Great. Well, so good to be doing this afternoon. Really, really thrilled and excited after many years of just thinking and praying and sowing into this area that you guys are now pioneering this new community of Kings right here in the North of Edinburgh. Really excited about that. I loved Mary's word earlier in the worship. Every lighthouse has a different signature. I heard that for the first time this summer when somebody said, so you know where you are just by counting the dashes and the dots of the lighthouse. And this church community, this family that God is going to build here will have its own unique set of dots and dashes. You can tell I've preached once today already, can't you? And you, as a believer, actually, you have your own unique signature that makes you able to reach certain people in this area, in this place, this part of Edinburgh, that other people would not be able to reach. And God has called you and called us together and called Kings to see his kingdom established here. So we're thrilled about that. Welcome if you're new. This is the very first time of anything to do with Kings. It's really good to have you here. I'm Dan. I lead the team of Kings Edinburgh. I don't know about you. I feel a bit nervous and a bit excited. Anybody else feeling that today?
Yes.
It's great, isn't it, to just be stepping out into this new season. Here we are at week one. I was just actually mindful of in John chapter 20. I'm standing in front of this, aren't I? I should move.
It's not an ideal position.
Anyway. I'll move this way. Okay. How about this? Yeah. Is that better?
Yeah,
right. In John 20, there's a gathering of believers, and they're pretty excited because they've heard that Jesus is alive, but they're also a bit nervous because people want to kill them. And he says this in John 20. He says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He shows them himself and his wounds. He gives them his peace. And then he sends them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, today is a great day. Any church gathering is good. Am I right? Usually, they're really encouraging places, aren't they? We often think about Jesus and the price he paid for us. And we sing about it, of all that he's done for us. We experience his peace as we have fellowship and we pray for one another. And it's good to receive his peace and his presence. But you know, that story of Jesus and the 12, it wasn't so much a story of a gathering as a story of ascending. It's fun to gather. It's fun to be together always. But Jesus defined that moment. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And here's something that's to define us primarily as a North community, that we're a sent people. And we're going to be, that's kind of what we're talking about for the next few minutes. We're talking about, what does it mean to be a sent people? Or in Bible words, a longer word would be an apostolic people. Apostle means sent one. Apostolic just means we're a sent people. And God is sending us today. The point of our North gathering isn't convenience. The point is mission. And God is sending us into this part of Edinburgh as his people on his mission, alongside many other great churches that are sowing into this part of Edinburgh as well. So today we're just beginning this series, calling it Built to Last, and it's looking at good foundations that God wants to put into us as a church community, and what it means particularly to be a sent community here that will impact generations to come, that will impact people who are not yet in the room, people who are not yet Christians. When I was 19 years old, I joined a tiny, tiny church called Kingsland Church in Biker in Newcastle upon Tyne. And there was about, I mean, you were there from pretty much then, Karen, weren't you? Like, there was maybe about 20 or 30 people. It wasn't big, it wasn't strong, it was in a really rundown part of Newcastle. The building was falling to bits, the worship was all out of tune, the preaching was okay. But do you know what? I've never found 20 more passionate people who thought they could change the world. And they did. Do you know that church? We were just chatting to some friends visiting from there a couple of days ago. It's 600 strong. It's probably one of the largest churches in the city. They meet in two meetings. They've got such a diversity of people. People literally walk in and get saved off the street. They've planted, to my knowledge, at least five or six churches, including King's Edinburgh. And King's Edinburgh has now planted King's West Lothian, and now we're getting going with this community. You think, oh, that's quite a legacy, isn't it? That's amazing what God did through a group of people who thought, you know what, we're on a mission with Jesus and we're going to believe him for it. So hopefully as we lay these foundations, we'll be reminded that this kingdom that we're part of is one that will last forever. That's why we're going slow. We're going to go once a month to start with, because we're not in a hurry, because what we're doing is eternal in its consequence. Today, I want us to consider this word, this foundation of being sent people to be sent. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll look at a few different verses. So if you've got a Bible, you can look into them or see them on the screen behind me. So here's the first one, Ephesians 2, verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. That's his church. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So when Paul writes to this Ephesian church, he reminds them that they're built on a foundation. Did you see what was in the foundations of this church? First of all, he reminds them that the chief cornerstone is Jesus. That's good news, isn't it? The cornerstone was like the most important part of any foundation. It was the part of the foundation. It was kind of the biggest, squarest stone. It gave the whole building its alignment, its sense of you'd level everything and align everything by the cornerstone. You'd often write the date inscription of when the building was constructed on the cornerstone. It was all about that. Everything found its true sense of significance based on that stone. And Jesus is that stone. And you know, it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, that Jesus is an apostle. So Ephesians 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. What does apostle mean? Sent one. So this is the only time Jesus is called this in the Bible. He's called the sent one, the apostle. He was sent by the Father from heaven to earth in order to pay the price for our sins and to be raised to life and to seek and save the lost. The Greek word apostle literally means sent, one sent out. And so when Jesus said, as the Father sent me, he's acknowledging that he is one who was sent. In pre-Christian literature, in Jewish literature, the equivalent word meant to be a special envoy. There was a rabbinical saying that said, the one whom a man sends is the equivalent of himself. Jesus is he is God himself. He's equal with God and he is God. And God sends him to the human race with the full authority of God himself. His mission is to seek and save the lost. In back-to-back parables in Luke 15, he explains about a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son, who for different reasons has ended up lost, one through stupidity, one through neglect, one through willful decision-making. But in those stories, the backstory isn't the important part. But in each story, something of huge value to somebody was lost. A search was made, and there is great rejoicing when it is found. To build an apostolic sent community isn't simply about adding a complex word into the title. It's to be a community sent on the mission of Jesus. It's to know that our identity is being found people and that finds great delight in finding others. It's to be a community that's aligned to Jesus and his lordship. So who's in the foundation? Who have we got so far? Jesus. That's good. We wouldn't want to do anything without Jesus. In fact, many churches will say, well, that's the only foundation. And you think, well, yeah, in a sense, it's all about Jesus, but what else does Paul put into the foundations and as he describes it? Next slide, please. Here we go. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Anybody else in there? Apostles and prophets. Wow, what are they doing there? Oh no, God's put some human beings in the mix. This is going to be a disaster. Why on earth would God do that? Well, in his wisdom, he chose leaders who he was going to put into the mix of the foundations to make this thing we know as the church. The church is built on these people gifts that God has given. And he's saying this really matters in building his church well. So Jesus chose 12 apostles. Paul was called also. Paul and Barnabas were commissioned. Timothy was another one who emerged into that role. Others were named like Andronicus and Junior in Romans chapter 12. So this word apostle, it was a widely used term in the New Testament period. What did it mean to build a church on these foundations of apostles and prophets? Well, the prophets is easier to quantify. There's 17 prophetic books in the Old Testament. But I want to just give you five features of what I think it means to be a church community that is founded on apostles. You okay for that? Ready to count to five. You can put your fingers up one at a time if you like, if that keeps you awake. It's a challenge, isn't it, in the afternoon? I'm loving it because I'm alive, I'm preaching, you know, it's fine. But for you guys, it's hard. Okay, here's the first thing. The apostolic church is built on strong biblical foundations. We know this because in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, there's some brand new believers, 3,000 at Pentecost. And it says, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayer. So in this newly formed community, these were the priorities that they gave. You know what, we're going to need to teach you everything that we know about Jesus. The church is built on the apostles' teaching about Jesus and how to live as a Christian. Now, some of that is the Gospels. Two of the Gospels that we have in our Bible were written by apostles, John and Matthew. But the rest of the New Testament, Paul's letters and Peter's letters, these are all apostolic teachings, not just about the life of Jesus, but about the implications of that life for us. So, I don't know about you, there can almost seem a purity for us. Anybody here like The Chosen? Has anybody seen The Chosen? Yeah, it's just great, isn't it? I love it. It's just a reflection on the Gospels in TV adapted form. Really, really good. And I love reading the Gospels because I think it's just observations about the life of Jesus and his teaching. But if you were to ask Paul, can you tell me about Jesus? He'd say, great, well, I'll take you through Romans, Ephesians, Galatians. He wasn't so much interested in Jesus went here and did this and did that miracle and he healed this person. All of that's important. It's in the Bible for us. But he said, I want you to know the implications of what this means for your life and the way you live and the way we build church and the way we are in relationships with one another. The letters aren't the appendices. They help us understand Jesus, what he does, his church and his kingdom. So that's the first thing. The apostolic church is built on biblical foundations. We're to be a church that's founded and rooted in scripture. Secondly, an apostolic church practices radical kingdom lifestyle. So in Acts 2 again, verse 43, it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early believers didn't go to church. They were the church. They gathered together as the church. It seemed that the early apostles shaped these young communities not just to learn the Bible, but to practice the way of Jesus in community together. That included care for the marginalized at the very heart of what they did. They cared for the poor. It included hospitality for those in need, opening their homes to one another with glad and sincere hearts, loving strangers. Hospitality literally means to love a stranger. They modeled radical generosity It says they sold property and possessions and gave to those in need. Churches are more than meetings. They're communities that are deeply ingrained and interested and caring for one another. And there was a radical sharing of life. They had glad and sincere hearts. That meant they had authentic relationships and they rejoiced in one another and their lives together. A guy called Dave Devenish, who's a New Frontiers kind of founder type guy, he said, "The church is meant to be a prophetic sign to the world, a community that demonstrates the reality of the kingdom of God on earth." So here's the third thing. An apostolic church sees the necessity of every member ministry. Every member ministry. Ephesians chapter 4. Hope you're keeping up with the Bible verses. Verse 10. "He who descended," it's Jesus, "is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." These are gifts of the ascended Christ. So Jesus gave these gifts after he ascended back to heaven. So this wasn't just a reference to the apostles he chose, the 12. They were his earthly ministry apostles. It's to say, well, Jesus is still giving gifts to his church. He ascended on high, and he's still giving apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists in order that the body of Christ may be built up and to equip the saints. Who are the saints? Us, the people of God, for works of service. Somewhere in history, wires got crossed. People started talking about the minister. Gifts started getting centralized on one person. Certain gifts got eliminated. The minister, the preacher, the communion celebrant, the worship leader, the head of planning and pastoral ministry, all one person. And that meant that churches got centered on one gift, whether that was pastoral care or prophecy or evangelism or teaching. An apostolic church ensures that all these gifts are impacting the church, even if not present in every church. One church can never have it all. We're part of a family of churches called New Ground, which is a family of churches. We're on a mission together, whereby which we can access gifts from other places that impact Kings, to keep us balanced in terms of the inputs we receive, to keep us fruitful in the ministries God is calling you and I to. And it's a place where we get to share our gifts with other churches also. Kings North didn't start because somebody in Kings Edinburgh had an idea. It started because we're part of a prophetic apostolic stream that's been running from the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And it's had various names in different places all around the world. But this is what he's doing. He's taking the gospel to the ends of the earth through forming church communities, through giving gifts to his church. Thousands of churches, millions, on this apostolic mission together, gathering and sending. King's central community, or whatever we're going to be called, will always need the gifts of North, and North the gifts of Central. That's the way God has designed it. One-person leadership is foreign to the biblical idea of leadership, which is always a team and is always about releasing the people of God, men and women and kids, to do their roles of service and to be fruitful. You know, honestly, when I describe this to some other church leaders in Edinburgh I'm friends with, they think I'm a bit lazy. Because they'll say to me, "So Dan, you're preaching this Sunday," because they preach every Sunday, twice usually. And I'll say, "No, I'm not actually doing this week." I said, "How about next week?" I said, "No, somebody else is doing that one." I said, "What about the carol service? Everyone dies at carol service time in other churches." I said, "Yeah, actually, other people do the carol service in Kings." I'm not really, and they kind of look at me like, "What do you do?" And then they look at my friend Gordon from Elam, he said, I actually looked at your website, Dan, and I was astonished to see that you'd actually cancelled the Sunday after Christmas. I said, well, yeah, we always take the Sunday off after Christmas. So here's the thing, I'm not lazy, but I'm committed to this idea, as we all are as elders, that the body of Christ is meant to do the works of ministry. So the more we can do to release the gifts of the body, which is what makes a gathering like this so exciting, that there's now an opportunity for more of us to step into service, more of us to step into worship leading or learning how to do PA or computers or serving and welcoming people on the door or prophesying or teaching, whatever those gifts are, or leading, God is giving opportunity. Because the apostolic church sees the necessity of every member ministry. So we need you. Works of ministry includes simple serving. Serving is leading and leading is serving. And as we continue to create these teams, as Karen said, please do volunteer yourself. Fourthly, the apostolic church moves in Holy Spirit gifts and power. Just one verse. Everyone, this is Acts 2 again. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That just seemed to be a normal part of their life. We don't seem to live in such an age of miracles today, but I want us to just see that one and be challenged by it. One of the signs of the early apostles was the signs and wonders they performed. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul taught the Corinthian church was that all the believers should expect the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be evidenced among them, including healing, including prophesying, including speaking in tongues, including discernment, including serving and facilitating and administration, all these other things. It starts when we recognize that those gifts are for today. We want to believe that Edinburgh North is going to be an oasis of spirit life, where people experience God's presence through the gifts manifested. And it's also a great place where you and I can learn to use those gifts. It's hard, isn't it, when there's 300 people in the room to just have a go? It's not so hard when there's 40, 50 of us or whatever, how many are here, to say, you know what, I feel like I could step out and have a go at sharing what God is saying. King's Edinburgh was smaller than this at the start. There was maybe 15 of us. It was wild. Because we'd just stand in a room and we'd prophesy. And we'd prophesy that God was going to do amazing things that at the time we thought, well, that was just impossible. But over years, he did. He did. God will fulfill things that we speak and believe him for now. It's putting it into the foundation. Lastly, fifthly, the apostolic church is driven. Its goal is worship. And it says this in the Old Testament prophets, the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God as surely as the waters cover the sea. How is God going to fill? I mean, those prophets must have wondered, how is God going to fill the whole earth with his glory? They must have questioned that. Is he just going to send like rain clouds full of glory everywhere? What's he going to do? The New Testament makes it clear God's way of filling the earth with his glory is to start communities called churches in every locality, every place, every village, every town, every nation, every people group, all over the world. And as we do that, God seems happy to share his glory with his church. He says, this is the house that I'm going to fill. This is the place of his dwelling, his choosing. He fills us with his presence. In John chapter 4, Jesus met a woman at the well who was a long way from God. She had a lot going on in her life. And it turned out to be the best conversation and the best teaching about worship we have in the whole Bible. Isn't that amazing? A random stranger who didn't even know God, and she has the most profound conversation with him. And Jesus tells her that it's not about this mountain or that mountain. These were the gathering places that people associated with worship. He said, it's about the Father seeking worshipers, including this woman that Jesus was talking to. An apostolic church isn't primarily driven by the desire to gather, although they do gather, of course they do. It's driven by a desire to see more we people come to worship Jesus. The goal is worship, those not yet here in the room. Somebody once said, mission exists because worship doesn't. And in that sense, we know this is a shared mission with every other evangelical church. I had an alarm bell once. There was this group that were meeting in Edinburgh, and a few of us other church leaders were a little bit concerned about it. We thought, are they a cult? We were very worried about some of the stories coming out. And I watched one of their videos, and the leader of this group said, you know, I have no problem saying at all that we are the only church in Edinburgh. And I thought, interesting. Cults. See, we recognize the unity of the body of Christ. We're not the only show in town, but rather we need one another. Here's the mission: lost people to become out and out worshippers of Jesus. So, can you remember those 5 points? Number one, based in the Bible, that's right. Secondly, kingdom lifestyle. Thirdly, necessity of every member of ministry. Well done, yeah. Fourthly, Holy Spirit gifts. Very good. And fifthly, worship. Goal is worship. Are you putting them up on the screen? I was really encouraged for a minute. I thought, these guys are really getting it. It's Sunday afternoon. It's going really well. Thanks, Sam. Really appreciate it. Hey. Maybe today you're thinking, hey, what's my role in this? What a wonderful question to ask. I'd love you to just think about that and pray about that, because I believe that God wants you to fully commit yourself to see something wonderful and vibrant established in this part of the city. And if you do, who knows what God will do? I do believe this is an exciting moment. You know, whenever you step into sending, you feel the Father's affirmation, because Jesus, the apostle, the sent one, knew the Father's affirmation at his baptism. And so you and I can experience that as we go. We feel the pleasure of God. There's an invitation today to step into the flow of this apostolic river started by Jesus and the apostles. We're a sent people. You're a sent person. He's sending you to your workplace, to your street, to your stairwell. You're not just attending a church gathering. You are the church. You're a sent people. You're part of something bigger than today, called to make Edinburgh North for the praise of his glory. Amen.
Amen.
What should we do now? Should we sing another song? Was that the plan? Yeah, great. Let's pray together. And thanks, guys. I'll give you the microphone. There you go. Let's stand together. And so Jesus breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If we're to be a sent people, we must be breathed on by God. So today, Lord, we just want to invite you, as we seek to be those who are used by you, would you breathe on us, Holy Spirit? Maybe just reach out your hands and just ask him to fill you afresh. Lord, we know it's not about us. It's not about our efforts. It's about you breathing on us and directing us. So, Holy Spirit, would you blow us in the right direction? Whether that's in our homes or workplaces or streets or stairwells, Lord, would you, by your Spirit, cause opportunities for us to go this week? I pray, Lord, that this church community would be filled with stories from week one of God opening the doors for us to seek and save the Lord.